is the Becoming Epic Podcast. Becoming epic. Epic isn't a word that we're just saying. Becoming epic. Every person is courageous. Fitness became a blessing. It's my secret weapon. I'm living every second, motivating you to become epic.
Welcome back to Becoming Epic Podcast. My name is Adam Berezowski, and I am your courage coach. So I am excited about this week's episode. I have on here one of our coaches here at Epic because I wanted to just not only get to share her story, but also try to provide as much value to you guys on your health and fitness journey, because she is not only a wealth of knowledge, she loves to work out, she's a beast, she loves to eat healthy, She also likes to sing. Not anymore.
In the shower.
Yeah. So welcome, Hannah Seawall. Mm-hmm. Right to say it right?
You did say
I've been
right.
Butchering a lot of names these
That's
days.
That's why it was C, so that people would understand how to pronounce it.
Oh, Seawall. Mm-hmm. S-E-A. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I don't need to spell it. Well, welcome. Glad you're here today. So let's just kind of dive into your story and share like where you all started.
Yeah. Like, what do you mean, fitness-wise?
What drew you into the fitness realm? And
well, I mean, I've always been into sports my whole life. I started in soccer at the age of 3 and then did that for many years. Did at one point like 4 sports. I was doing softball. I was doing horseback riding, if you consider that a sport, and then dance.
I do consider horseback riding a sport. The one time I ever rode a horse, I was sore as shit for days. So yes.
It's a killer workout. I would do like the, what is it? English riding. So like a quest, like the
hurdles.
Yeah.
And stuff?
The jumping and stuff. Yeah. But I had a friend who did that, so I did it with her. But anyways, yeah. So I was doing 4 sports at a time. And so I've always been athletic, I guess. But didn't take it seriously until high school. Then I got into track and field. So we were taught, you know, how to weightlift, probably not correctly, but we were taught weightlifting maybe twice a week. And then we were running every other day. So from that, I really fell in love with weightlifting, but then it wasn't until COVID that I actually took it seriously. I decided, well, since everything is closed, I'm going to build a home gym. So I built a home gym with my dad and started working out from home, and then realized maybe I want to pursue this as something. So it was during COVID that I was like, yeah, I definitely want to make this either a career or a hobby or something on the side. And that's what I did. And then Brooke and Sarah are my neighbors. So they're also coaches here. And so it was through them that I was like, all right, maybe this is the place that I start at. And so yes.
Okay. So coming from an athletic background, mm-hmm. right? Because a lot of people have like, oh, like I was in high school, I was a sports right. whatever, professional. Mm-hmm. What has fitness, like, why are you so drawn to fitness? Like, what does it do for you personally?
It's definitely the feeling after. I mean, we've talked about this in our staff meetings, but it's definitely the feeling that I get. And I get it from cardio and from weightlifting. I get like the same feelings from both. And just, I definitely have progressed in my, not only nutrition, but like my physique as well. And so when I first started during COVID, I definitely was not doing it maybe the healthiest way. I definitely was restrictive and wasn't like, I would weightlift all the time, but not seeing any results. So then I started doing a lot more research. Then I started getting, you know, into my certification and everything. And I realized, well, you know, you need to eat in order to see progress, and started eating and ate really well, and then started weightlifting a lot more and learning like what works for my body. And so, I mean, I love where I'm at today. I know that I would love to progress I feel like you can always progress no matter what. So I'm excited for what the future holds.
Yeah. So let's dive in a little bit, because, you know, most people start their journey. They're like, oh, I want to lose weight, or whatever that moment was that they had in order to start.
Yeah.
They always go to cardio. We hear this all the time. Mm-hmm. Right. And I know, like, you want to sweat, you want to feel good. Like, you want to leave here panting, like, oh, like what the hell just happened. Right. But weightlifting, you keep mentioning that.
Yeah.
And so like, why do you personally want to go that route for yourself?
So, I mean, obviously it's not to lose weight. I didn't need to lose weight, but I was more on the super, super skinny route. And I wanted to just look, feel strong, look strong. I was always seen as petite. And that was just like a personal struggle of mine. I just didn't like being called that or seen as that way. So I wanted to change that. So that's why I got into weightlifting. But when you talk about cardio, everyone goes to cardio. Yeah, cardio burns fat, but weightlifting builds muscle. So, okay, that's great to incorporate cardio into your life, but you don't need that every single day.
Yeah.
And so then that's when I started realizing, oh, okay. Like, as long as I just move throughout the day and then, yeah, I could get my liftings. I try to lift 3 times a week, if not more, but that's just my journey right now. But I do try to move every day and it doesn't have to be cardio. And I've realized that now and thankful that I realized that. But back then when I first started, I definitely was like, all right, let's do all cardio. I would do the YouTube videos of like the 40 minute hit or whatever. And it would be like burn 500 calories. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Obviously that's stupid, but yeah.
I think when like learning education, right. Mm-hmm. And like understanding, cause there is a science to it, right. It's not just right. like burning calories. You know, there's a science of like burning calories to then your intake, right. Of mm-hmm. what you need to eat in order to then replace those calories that are being burned.
Right.
But then also like adapting your programming to your goals.
Right.
You know? And so like, again, most people do show up here because they're most likely out of shape or they are looking to lose weight. Mm-hmm. They're looking to even transition into a different type of training than what they've always done. Right. Cause there's a lot of like gym goers that are like, okay, I need something different. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think like, cause everybody starts doing it wrong.
Right.
You know, it's the thing is you just have to start.
Yeah.
Right. And then as you progress and as you know what works, what doesn't work, mm-hmm. then you start to like really hone in on like, okay, this is the route that I want to go.
Right.
Then you immerse yourself in like what we all do is YouTube University.
Yeah.
For real. Yeah. Which is honestly the best school in, I think, in the world.
Yeah.
You know, because you can learn everything. You want to learn nutrition. You want to learn fitness. You want to learn Chinese. I mean, yeah. You can literally learn anything you want on YouTube.
Click of a button.
Yeah, totally. Crazy. Totally. Yeah. And so like even with work, you know, you've been working here for a little over a year.
Almost a year.
Almost a year. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I got my certification at the end of June, I think.
Okay.
So, but then my internship and everything, I think it was like August.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and then like your progression, right. To mm-hmm. from like cardio junkie being a runner,
yeah.
you know, in high school and then mm-hmm. even going into college, you still kind of played around with that. Mm-hmm. You know, where did you start to adapt nutrition right into this? Because mm-hmm. I think that's where most people tend to lose out. They're like, okay, I got the movement down. I got the exercise regimen mm-hmm. down, but their nutrition's still crap.
Right.
Okay. Let me just tell everybody, because this girl not only is in school full time, she works here a lot. She's here even when she's not working yeah, out.
It's literally the second home.
Yeah. But then also has a very regimented life. Mm-hmm. And so being somebody as young as you are, so for all of our listeners, she's 20.
Yep.
Just turned 20.
Sometimes I try not to tell people that.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, but just calling you out.
Yeah.
But for somebody at your age to have such discipline for one mm-hmm. is huge. And then having, you know, especially with like the social norms of like going out and
right.
whatever, going dancing. Cause we have a lot of people like to go dancing. Mm-hmm. Like how do you manage your nutrition in all this?
I was actually just talking to a client about this today. And she's kind of the same way where we've both figured out that we like habits. So for me, I basically eat the same 3 meals a day and it's not because, oh, I need to, it's just like, oh, I found what works for me and it's, you know, it hits my macros and I enjoy it and I haven't gotten sick of it. So, I mean, of course I'll switch it up for dinners and whatever, but most of the time I try to stick with the same thing. And I think that creating healthy habits like that, especially when it comes to nutrition, is super important, just to figure out what works for you. And so again, when I first started, I was super restrictive. So I'd have like egg whites for breakfast and like that was not fueling me for the day, obviously. And like, you know, that's great, but you need other things on top of that. So I think Instagram and like social media helped me figure out like, okay, obviously I'm not eating the same thing everybody's eating online, but through influencers, like being like, okay, this is like what I eat in a day. I know those are kind of toxic, but yeah, I do watch those sometimes and get inspiration, like, oh, you know, that's something new, or let me try that. That has high protein or whatever. And I think it was through social media for sure that helped me figure that out. And then obviously more research and through my own certification and everything, like figuring out, you know, that I needed enough protein, like the 1 gram per body fat. That's what I try to do. Or body weight, not body fat. Yeah.
Definitely not body fat.
No. But yeah, like figuring out my protein intake, and I don't really count. That's not what I do. I kind of just eat when I feel hungry. But yeah, now that I figured out exactly what I like to eat three times a day, then that's what I do.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like when people, I always say, when people want something bad, they'll do whatever they have to do to get that goal, right? So say like you want to get your degree in X, right? Mm-hmm. You go to school 4 years, 2 years, whatever it is to get that mm-hmm. degree. When it comes down to like a healthy lifestyle, it's like pulling teeth. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they're not willing to put in the little bit of education for the like the major reward
right.
of what is possible. Mm-hmm. Because you said it yourself. I mean, being as young as you are, having the now second career path, we'll talk about this first one. I just have to bring it up. Yeah. I already warned her. But you know, for the fact that it comes down to habits. And same thing, I'm very regimented, right? Mm-hmm. And you eat the same thing because you know it works.
Yeah.
Right? Yes, does it get boring? Yes. But the result is more right. important than the short-term enjoyment
yeah.
of like having a ton of variety.
Right. And I just want to preface this. Like, I definitely go out to eat. I actually subbed for somebody at the restaurant the other day. And like, I'll eat, you know, whatever. Like I work at a Thai restaurant too, sometimes. And so I'll have some of their food, but of course that's not an everyday thing. Yeah. So I try to stick to buying my own groceries and sticking to the same thing. But of course, like, yeah, I'll have my dessert and I'll have, you know, whatever for dinner if I'm going out with friends. Cause like you have to enjoy life, you know,
1000%.
If your friends invite you out for dinner, just realize like there are things on the menu that you can look out for, or, you know, substitute different things, or, you know, ask maybe the waiter to, or ask the chef to like take out oils or whatever it is. You can still enjoy going out to eat. And so I definitely don't restrict in that way.
Yeah. And that's what goes down to like the 80-20 rule. I talk about it a lot, right? Like 80% beyond 20% enjoy life.
Yeah.
Right. In the sense of not, it doesn't mean you're not enjoying your life, that 80%. It means you're having structure and stability to live a certain way.
Right.
You know, and like people call it restrictive, but it really isn't, because mm-hmm. it's like, I don't feel like anybody's restricting anything because the reward of you getting to hitting those goals is so much more important.
Right.
Right. Brings happiness.
Yeah.
Defeats depression, you know, among other things. Right. And so, so do you have any like hacks in your life being a full-time student, you know, basically a full-time, you know, fitness coach, whether you're mm-hmm. here or doing it yourself, because, you know, you're posting your videos on Instagram, you're doing a lot of those stuff. Like, do you have any hacks that you've developed, you know, that help you out through your busy schedule?
I try to set time aside, no matter when it is, like whether it's dinner time or in the morning, whenever I have time, like just to decompress. Your body needs to just sit. Like, and I know it's so hard for me to say that, because I'm definitely the one person that just like is boom, 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 you know, back to back of whatever I'm doing, whether it's work and then to school and then whatever. But I now have realized that I need just that like hour to just sit.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do it, but I just need it. And so, like, I mean, some days after work, because I work from, you know, 5 to 11, I'll come home, and then I would have a class at 1 at Moore Park. So I'd have a class there. And so I would try to get that nap in right in between. And like, that's what worked for me. But definitely setting time aside is just super important. And then like sitting down for dinner, like don't be, you know, up and around. Like, and I say that too, again, I'm always like standing. Yeah. Like I need to just sit and just enjoy my time with my family and friends and whoever I'm with. But, yeah, just time to decompress, seriously, and sleep.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is like, you know, people, they're like, oh, but I just want to get home. I want to decompress. Yeah. Right. And people look at vegging, watching Netflix or watching TV and hanging out at home.
I don't even remember the last time I watched a show.
Totally. for hours, right? Mm-hmm. When you're home at a decent hour and you still don't go to bed till who knows what time.
Right.
Right. Because of this veggie time.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. There you go. And so, but instead of like making it a priority to go to sleep, because I think one of the biggest changes that most people don't seem to make, there's two things. One is drinking enough water and two is sleep.
Yeah.
Like you literally change those two things to get the right amount of sleep your body needs and drink enough water that your body needs. I mean, your energy levels go up. There's so much
changes. You won't feel the need to have like 3 Celsius a day like some people do.
Totally. Or 3 pre-workouts. Yeah, oh, totally. Yeah. guilty. You know, but that's the thing, right? And it's like so many people try to overcomplicate something that doesn't need to be complicated. Right. It comes down to discipline and it comes down to habits.
Yes.
And those are like the two main things that like most people, they just overcomplicate it.
Right.
You know, and so somebody who goes out to eat, you know, works at a Thai restaurant, you know, and still prioritizing your health at this age is so important to lead, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's so many youth your age. I mean, I have a 6-year-old who, you know, has some bad habits, but she's, you know,
she's also 6.
But see, but that's also the thing, right? It's like you don't want to utilize that as an excuse.
That's true.
For somebody, because like she does enjoy my cooking. She enjoys my, you know, my broccoli, my Brussels sprouts. Like I've had her on the podcast and she's like, Daddy, like, I was like, what's your favorite food? And it's like Brussels sprouts and all this stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like it's incredible. You know, but like prioritizing what healthy looks like, right? Having it in moderation, being able to have those chips, being able to like supplement those calories with movement,
right?
You know, and that's the thing that people, you know, it's like, no, you burn more than you consume. So move more, eat less, right? But in reality, that's not really what it takes to like have sustainability.
No, I swear. And I was just talking about this today too. I am like a bottomless pit nowadays. And that is not from like nonstop cardio. That is strictly from weightlifting.
Yeah.
That is seriously like the amount of muscle that I have now needs to be nourished with all the food that I eat. And like, it's healthy food, but like it's a ton.
Yeah.
Like I'm eating as much as my boyfriend and it's scary, but like obviously I need it, you know?
Yeah. Or your boyfriend just needs to step up his game a little bit. You know, just saying, Johnny. just hopefully he listens. But yeah, I mean, but that's just it, right? Because like the people, it comes down to like the math, right? It's how much muscle mass you have, how much body, and really what your goal is, right? Your goal is building lean muscle, keeping and maintaining your body fat percentage at this point,
right?
And something that's healthy and sustainable,
right.
But then also now educating others to do the same. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's where like, you know, if I look back when I was your age, you know, it's like, A, I was not in shape. I was out of shape. I did everything unhealthy. I did the exact opposite of everything you've done. Didn't prioritize my health, didn't prioritize really anything besides partying and drugs and whatever other shit I got into. You know, but this is like where your impact in the fitness industry could be massive. And unfortunately, she is, fortunately and unfortunately, she's going to college. she's going to a college out of state, but, you know, she's leading with this healthy lifestyle, which is, I think to me, just super impressive because I think even when you go to out of state into another school, you're still going to prioritize your health.
Oh yeah.
You're still going to lift. You're still going to work out. You're still going to do whatever it is that you're going to do. Like invite me for a half marathon.
Yeah.
Just saying, I'll come out and, I just won't say where you're going. and so, yeah. So like, what are some tips and tricks that, you know, working with our members, right? Because like our members are the age range from, you know, I would say from like 40 to 65, right? People that have kids, people that some that are single, some aren't. What are some tips and tricks that you've been teaching that you can serve to our listeners?
Some tips and tricks, like in terms of weightlifting,
nutrition, just anything that like maybe common conversations that you're having with people.
Well, I mean, like I said, the nutrition part is just building those habits and like it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to stick to the same foods every day. That's just what works for me and works for some, doesn't work for others, but definitely just finding the right foods. So hitting those goals, and that can be something different every day, but hitting those goals that you need to prioritize your health. But for weightlifting, my only thing would just be like, suffer through the boringness. I mean, it is not, I guess, so fun, right? Like weightlifting, you know, there's those downtimes, like a minute or 2 minutes rest, but honestly, it's the long-term outcome for me that made me really fall in love with it. Yeah. So when I actually, I started and didn't see any results for like years. And because I wasn't doing it right, like I wasn't eating and I was restrictive, and then I wasn't pairing, you know, muscle groups together. Like I was probably just being like, let me just do booty every single time. And that's just not how that works. But yeah, so it's great here. We have a muscle calendar. So we hold people accountable for, you know, you give your legs 48 hours rest at least. And so we try to do that here. Lifting upper body, because it's great to lift every muscle, mm-hmm. not just legs or not just arms. For those out there that think that they like just one muscle, it's great to lift everything.
Well, it's kind of like results. Those people that are like, you know, I actually had this conversation today. It's not like you could just look down at your belly and say, hey, fat, only lose it from there.
Right.
You know, and it's those people that work just their legs or just their upper body. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the chicken leg guys at the gym.
I just saw you've that at the gym the other day.
You've got the,
I was like, dude,
you've got the, I'll say the opposite, the chicken upper body for some women, mm-hmm. right? Because a lot of women love yep. leg day, whatever. Like, yeah. I'm not a fan of leg day.
we know.
But I don't have chicken legs. So I'm not one of the statistics.
But I also like to preface this. So yes, weightlifting is boring, but also just having a variety. So like mixing it up. So one day, you know, you go out for a run and maybe like running is boring to you. Okay, well then go to a spin class, mm-hmm. or, you know, do a HIIT workout downstairs because we have, you know, cardio down here. Or, you know, you mix it up and you make it kind of fun. Like the other day I went on a bike ride and that's a workout. Like yeah, I yeah. seriously was huffing and puffing, but like that was so fun. So you find the things that you enjoy and you do that, you know, and mix it up every other day. And yeah.
Yeah. And it's finding those active activities too. Cause like, mm-hmm. you're right. It doesn't always have to be like strenuous exercise. No. Movement is the key to life, mm-hmm. right? Our bodies are built to move. They're built to like adapt to the heat. They're built to adapt to the winter. Right. You know, when people are like, oh, I don't run in the heat, I don't run in the cold, I'm like, I'm out there in the worst weather.
I got to figure that out. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love it. Like if it's 100 degrees out, you'll definitely find me running. Yeah. If you see like, who's that crazy dude out there running? That's probably yep. me. But that's just it. Right. Mm-hmm. And we live in a society now where it's all like, you know, I'm sure everybody's heard this, but it's sitting is the new smoking, right? Yeah. Because most people sit in their daily life and their daily jobs and movement is like daunting, mm-hmm. and it shouldn't be, mm-hmm. you know, and you should be able to go out and enjoy fun things like going to ride a bike,
yeah.
like to having to go to a store, not just driving your car, like
that's exactly what I did. I was like, Johnny, we're going to the store, but we're going to ride around town. So we rode like around my city.
Oh, awesome.
And then went to the store and yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah. But being able to have the ability to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where most people like,
and by the way, that is, well, I mean, the investment is in the bike, but it's free, you know, you don't totally. Have to invest in gas. So yep. that's kind of cool. Yeah. And that's why I'm excited when I move, like the city that I'm going into is all movement, like biking, walking. I mean, I went on a bike ride with my dad when we visited a couple weeks ago, and I mean, we had to weave around people. There were that many people on wow. the Greenbelt. So, I mean, yeah, whether it's walking, running, biking, there was kayaking, there was surfing, even though there's no beach.
Oh, it yeah,
was
you did tell
on,
me about
on
that.
The river. Yeah. yeah. So, I mean, there's so many things that you can do to move your body. So just finding what you enjoy, just stick to that.
And I think for most, like what we try to do to get, like have our clients obtain goals mm-hmm. is like pick something like that, right? Yeah. Pick something that you've never done before and work to make that comfortable, yeah. right? Because somebody who's overweight, who has never been on a bike before, mm-hmm. that's going to be like daunting and monotonous, right? right? And right. They're going to hate every second of it being out of shape. Mm-hmm. But then like getting them into shape, then to be able to do that movement, yeah. like that's what life is about. Mm-hmm. Like going out there, enjoying riding your bike with your kids.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have kids, but
yeah. With the kid.
The kid, yeah.
The boyfriend.
The boyfriend. AKA the boyfriend. Yeah, totally. Yeah. He's younger. Not that much younger, but younger. But that's just it, right? It's like the keys of like being able to have sustainability. Mm-hmm. And I think with like the habits that you've created now, like you could really take that with you forever.
Yeah.
Right?
I plan on keeping it forever.
Yeah. You know? And being able to like, you know, prioritize the things that are important to you, mm-hmm. spend time with family, right? And that's like what we do here, right? Is like being around our community and like making that a priority, mm-hmm. being able to give back our education to then support our clients to better their life, right? And giving them the ability to not only for us to believe in them, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's like we work with older people, you know, or older, I hate people, older generations. And like they're looking up to us being younger than them as leading them to a better life.
Right.
Which is incredible.
And sometimes I worry about that just being, I mean, you already said I'm 20.
Yeah.
Just being 20. And I worry that some of our clients, you know, say, oh, like she's too young. She doesn't know what she's talking about. You know, she doesn't have any years under her belt. And so I worry about that a lot, but that's kind of why I don't say my age. And I think a lot of people are surprised when I tell them I am 20. They're like, oh, I didn't expect that. And I'm like, yeah, but we don't have to talk about it. It's fine.
But then you have like one of our members who's like 61, who's a beast. And she's like, you know, like you've led her in plenty of races, mm-hmm. and you've shown up like at Big Bear a couple weeks ago, like mm-hmm. when we did Big Bear Spartan, and that's a hell of a race, but like you showed up, you led and you led in a different way than way I lead, right? Because mm-hmm. I lead generally from the back, making sure that our people get in front. And then you lead by, I want to show our clients what's possible, mm-hmm. right? And I do the same. It's just situational, right? Because mm-hmm. I like experience things with people,
right?
Versus like that was your race. You wanted to own it and you mm-hmm. do it. And which, but it's a way of leadership as well, which is mm-hmm. incredible. So what else can we talk about? Yeah, I mean, because I think it was just with your journey in general and like your future in fitness, because mm-hmm. the fitness industry, unfortunately, we have like there's always gonna be fat people, right. You know, and there's and not even just fat, just unhealthy lifestyles, right?
I just think that's America too. Like, we're typically living that sedentary lifestyle, and so and it could be generational too. Like, I know that I love my grandparents, but they live a sedentary lifestyle, and so it's. I think that is a generational thing. And luckily here, I mean, we do have members that were or are my grandparents' age. And so that's, I mean, I'm inspired by them. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like they're leaders from the front, right?
Totally.
Because maybe that isn't the norm for mm-hmm. for them. And I mean, I'm trying to make fitness the norm for my generation. I mean, that's the goal. And I do see a lot, honestly, I see a lot of people when I go to a public gym, I see a lot of people my age there. And so like that makes me hopeful, but and I think social media has a lot to do with that too.
Yeah.
Like these, you know, fitness influencers, even though yes, some are toxic, I've already said that, some are very toxic, maybe don't listen to all of them, but I mean just getting that inspiration to okay, maybe I should start weightlifting or start running or whatever, train for something. And that's the thing for me is that I think I started really taking fitness seriously when I started having a goal. So not even just building muscle, but like, you know, setting a goal like, hey, I want to participate in a race, a 5K. I want to participate in a half marathon. And I did that. And that was, I never thought I would run past 3 miles, to be honest. I was like, there's no way. I did that. That was incredible, the feelings afterwards. But just always setting that goal. And it doesn't have to be in running. It can be in weightlifting. It could be in nutrition. It could be in whatever it is that makes you have a healthier lifestyle.
Going bike riding with your kids.
Going bike riding.
Playing with your kids on the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many goals.
Movement.
Yeah.
Any movement is movement.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's, I think, where most people, when they go to set goals, they mm-hmm. set like unreachable goals, right?
Yeah.
They're like, I want to
start small.
Exactly. You know, and like we have one of our clients, Ben, mm-hmm. who like his sole goal, he's what, almost 70?
Wow.
Yeah. And his sole goal is to just, you know, be able to like travel. And it was, I'll tell you a story about him in a minute, but like travel and to play with his grandchildren. Like his grandchildren are his world.
Yeah.
Right.
And
so
guess what? Weightlifting has a lot to do with maintaining
totally
you know, your body, be able to do that.
Yeah.
So.
And so he actually a few years ago, I don't know if I ever told the story, but he a few years ago did the Mount Whitney hike here.
Oh, okay.
And it's a 22-mile round trip, 11 miles up, 11 miles back.
Wow.
They did it in one day. He actually tore his quad
yeah.
on the way back. And like, the group that he was with were some other members, and he ended up, they ended up having to carry him out for like 6 miles, right? Because his quad was busted. He ended up having surgery. Wow. But imagine if he wasn't in as good a shape as he is, how much more damage could have been done.
Right.
And then he came right back like it never even happened.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible. He also traveled.
Like he could have not been able to walk anymore.
Ever again. And then he also traveled, I think him and his wife did Spain, I think it was, where they went on a bike ride tour where you can be on a regular bike, an e-bike or whatever. And you go from like parts of the country, you literally ride 15 miles up the road, you hop off, you hang out at night, you ride another, and you just travel by bike. And that's you have like a support bike and all a support crew that comes with you and feeds you and does all this fun stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, imagine having those type of experiences at when you're retired or if you have the time available to be able to do that type of stuff that you would never, ever, ever get to experience if you weren't in shape.
Yep.
You know, and so that's, you know, that's a leading reason why I like to get our clients to make goals like that. Like you're going to Hawaii, let's set a goal for you to try surfing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like you're in the Mecca. Mm-hmm. Well, I think California is the Mecca of surfing, but you go to Hawaii, the water's way better there.
Yeah.
For sure. And, but then like you get to experience surfing.
Yeah.
Right. Or kayaking, which, you know, I have a secret now obsession with. It's not really a secret because I tell everybody about it. But kayaking, you know, I mean, there's so many things that you can do that you would never experience. Mm-hmm. Hiking. I mean, like there's so much to explore and so much adventure to have that you can't when you're restricted by your health.
No.
You know? And so, okay, so let's backtrack a little bit. And because this is your second career path. I just want to bring this up and then we can wrap this up because Hannah started in the music industry.
I did.
So let's talk about that. Oh, what?
Another industry.
Yeah, another industry. So let's talk about that and like what made you not want to pursue that.
Okay, so, well, I guess I've been singing all my life. I mean, my parents would say that I would sing from like the time I could talk. But so I was singing and I would just sing to literally everybody that like every company that would come over, I would sing. And my mom's coworker's friend, he was a music producer. And so he listened to me and he knew I could sing, but never really heard me. And then when I finally sang to him, I think I was nervous to sing to him because I was like, oh my gosh, he's a producer. But I finally sang to him and he's like, all right. So I think this was around January. He was like, all right, February, whatever, we're going to make a song and we're going to release it. And I was like, I was 13.
So this was January of what year?
I don't know. So I was 13. So
7 years ago.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Did I do the math right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
However many years ago. And so, I mean, I guess I could look on Spotify and see how long ago Aeroplane, that was my first song, was called Aeroplane.
Yeah. So if you look up, I just want to make everybody needs, because I think this plays a significant role in your journey, right? Because it's like you wanted to go down this path. Somebody tried to, you know, and then obviously it just wasn't for you because you didn't have the type of zest that you have for like fitness or whatever.
Right.
So Hannah C on Spotify.
Yes.
S-E-A.
Yeah. It was called Aeroplane. It was in 2017. So I think we made it though. Maybe it was around December. I forget the date, but we made it earlier on. And then, you know, it takes a minute to produce and everything like that. But yeah, so I was 13. That's when we first released it. And then I was in middle school. So a lot of the kids, I mean, I don't know if it was like making fun of or like actually enjoying it. I mean, I'm sure there were a lot of people that actually enjoyed it, but I was definitely not the one to be like, oh my gosh, this is my new song. Like everyone go listen. So I was more reserved with that. But I remember at a school dance, people played it and I was like, oh, yay. Love that.
They played it at the dance?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
And so, I mean, it's like, I was grateful. I was like, but then there's also the people that like definitely are probably making fun of it, which whatever, you know, you're at that age and middle school sucks.
Yeah.
But anyways, and then I stopped for a little bit and then, you know, started back up and did an EP, which is like a 5-song, or it was a 4-song.
Like an album.
Yeah, like a short album. And so that released when I was 15. And I actually, rest his soul, but I did the collab with Nolan Neal, who was a part of The Voice in America's Got Talent. Yeah, so he recently went back into drug overdose, and he passed away recently. But
he was
an amazing guy. And he really inspired me to come up with, like, or to be interested in the music industry and come up with the songs that we did. It was really cool. And honestly, it was an amazing part of my life. And obviously it was a journey in my life. But then after I was 15, I was just like, yeah, I don't think I want to be famous. Like, that's not my goal. It wasn't to be famous. And it is an expensive thing. Like, you pay a lot of money to just have one song produced.
Yeah.
So I was young and that wasn't my passion, I guess. I loved singing, but it wasn't my career path. So I was like, I'm just going to stick to doing it myself. But it is there forever. Like, it's on Spotify, it's on Apple Music, it's on every platform. So I get to, show my future kids one day, hey, I did something, but it's an archive. It's right there.
But I think that's awesome for the fact that, like, being so young, like, and I guess a driven, that, can't think of the word. It's like drivenality, because it's not, I don't even, is that a word?
Words.
Yeah, we're going to make up words. But then, like, leading that into, like, the industry that you are very passionate about. Mm-hmm. So then what is, like, if you can have it your way, like, what would your future look like? Like, would you want to stay in the fitness industry?
I would love to stay in the fitness industry. I don't know, like, how to make it sustainable. I mean, I guess opening up my own gym or something like that. I know that my boyfriend and I have talked about, he's in kinesiology and he wants to be a PT. So we've talked about, maybe opening up a gym and then having, like, a PT clinic as a part of it. So, like, something maybe like that. But I mean, this is why I'm going to college, so I can figure out what I really want to do. I'm not a kinesiology major. I'm a communications major. So kind of different. A lot of people, are like, what? Like, you are a trainer. Why wouldn't you be a kinesiology major? Good question. It's because I don't know exactly what I want to do. But I definitely, if this could be a side gig, if that, like, I would rather it be something than nothing.
For sure.
So if I can, maintain my certification and stick to doing either personal training on the side or group fitness when I go away, whatever it is, I would love to stick to doing it. And then it holds me accountable too.
Yeah. Well, I think, like, we've had a conversation because, like, online coaching, because I think that's a huge market. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, you're not only impactful, you're energetic, your classes are batshit crazy. and I think, like, you, with the little time that you've been here, you've made a really big impact, not just on our clients, but on our staff too as well. Mm-hmm. But there is a way, because, like, there, it just depends on the level of success that you want, right? Because mm-hmm. if you want to make millions of dollars in this industry, you can. You just got to figure out how to do it, And so whether that's through influence or through products or through, programming and selling programs or owning a gym or...
and that's when communications can really come into play, is like with the whole social media, mm-hmm. Industry of fitness and, publishing and marketing stuff on there. Because that's my emphasis, is on marketing. So if I can just take those skills that I learn and then maybe build a career in fitness with that, that would be ideal. But it's all like the Instagram reel. I know you do that, but Instagram reels and all that stuff is what's making money. It's crazy.
Yeah. And it's, but it's also like understanding impact over income, right?
Right.
It's like, what is the return on your investment? Because if you have all the money in the world and you are sad and depressed and hate your life versus making an impact, mm-hmm. right? And it being able to sustain the life that you want and live the life that you want. Like, that's really what it's about. Cause that's how I live my life. It's like impact over income all day long. Yeah. Like, I have my school bus. I'll live in there for the rest of my life.
I honestly, the van life, I see that on Instagram a lot too. I know we're always resorting back to Instagram, but I see that a lot. Like, people living the van life. I'm like, that actually kind of looks fun.
It is cool. Yeah. I have a small taste of it and I love every second of it, but that's what I'm saying. If you can go down the realm of doing what you want and basically designing the life, because I think that's where most people kind of like get lost in life, is like, what is the expectation of others of me versus what do I want out of my own life? And because if I lived my life in the way others people expected me to, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be where I am at.
No.
Honestly, I'd probably be working for the city of Beverly Hills, because that's what my dad did. And he wanted me to follow in his footsteps. He got me a job. He got me an internship. He got me all these things, right? But I just didn't. It just wasn't my thing.
To each their own,
right? But that's why it's like, if you lead by passion and you lead by what it excites you to wake up every day. And that's some of the best advice that people gave me growing up, is that find something you love to do and then figure out a way to make money doing it.
Yeah.
Cause there's thousands and if not hundreds of thousands of people that love it just as much as you do.
Yeah.
And so,
we need more people like that.
Yes, unfortunately, but I'll reference Instagram, but the instant gratification of like what you see people have and are doing doesn't show the path it took to get there.
Right.
So that's the hard part.
That's the toxic part though.
It is, you know, because it's like, yes, you have that one lucky person that hit a wave, but then you have that one person that's been consistent from day one who has just all of a sudden popped up with a couple million followers and can launch a t-shirt and sell $1 million worth of t-shirts in a hot second versus the people that grind it out all day long.
Yep.
And so, you know, which is where social media is a great tool, but it is, again, going back to like that toxicity of like, you know, what is reality and what it takes to actually get there. Cause you still have to do the work.
Oh yeah.
You know, and that's
why I have this.
Yeah. My tattoo. Oh yeah. She,
no grit, no pearl.
Yeah. She came here untatted.
Yeah. Leaving with
leaving the tat, tatted.
No. Yeah. Just kidding, Mom. Just kidding.
Yeah.
No, but yeah.
Yeah, but it's awesome. But I think like, you know, you leading with that direction and leading with your passion first and your motivation, because it is very, what's the word? Not invigorating.
Inspirational.
No, it's where when you're around others, people just want to do what you do. I can't think of the name.
Copycats.
Sure. I don't know. My brain is fried today. But yeah, so I do appreciate you. I appreciate all that you have brought to our tribe. But we're going to figure out a way for you to continue.
Yes, please.
Making an epic impact, because it's more than just our local, it's around the world, and having you be a part of that.
Yay.
So it's great. Okay. I usually like to throw a fancy question at the end, but I don't know if my brain is going to work well today. But if you're in an elevator and somebody asks you, what are the three key things that you've done to make your life successful, what are those three things?
Ooh, three key things. Well, habits. We talked about that. Habits for sure. Passion. That's why I went into this industry. It is my passion. And to just experience life. Like, that is exactly why I'm going away for college, because I want to know what that's like, and I don't want to have regrets. No regrets.
Allowed. Don't go to the tattoo parlor in Venice Beach and get no regrets tattoo, because that's...
Unless you want the experience, then you can get no regrets.
Yeah, then you get everything. You get the experience, you get the passion, and what was the first thing? Oh, and habits.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you. I appreciate this podcast. Thank you for being on here with me.
Of course.
And every person is courageous.
Thank you for listening to the Becoming Epic podcast. If you're still listening to this, that means you took something away from this episode. Make sure you leave a review and subscribe so you never miss an episode. Becoming Epic. We'll see you next time. Fitness became a blessing. It's my secret weapon. I'm living every second, motivating you.